welcome to Misunderstood, a podcast dedicated to better understanding MS and learning to live well with MS. I'm your host, Katie Sloan. Our usual reminders as we begin. I am not an expert. I'm just a person like you living with MS and trying to make the best of it. Misunderstood is based on my personal experience, what I've learned from my doctors, other care providers, and my own solutions-oriented research and pattern-finding obsession. While the majority of the information I share has been vetted by doctors, I am not a doctor. My intention is that you use the information shared here as a springboard for discussion between you and your doctor regarding your future care options. Lastly, MS impacts each of us uniquely. I hope to shine a light on a wide range of approaches and strategies for living better with MS. But what you choose to do with that information is always your choice, and what works for one may not work for all. In our previous episode, we were joined by MS community member and MS health coach, Amy Beheimer. I hope you found her health coaching tips helpful and that you've considered reaching out to schedule a free roadmap session with her to see how she might be able to support you on your MS journey. This past month, I have been a very busy bee. And just like the bees in my spring garden, hopping from flower to flower in their mad dash to pollinate everything this spring, I've explored quite a number of resources in terms of tested tools to support our MS health, specifically tools that can alleviate some of our most frustrating and debilitating symptoms. I acknowledge that very few of us in the MS community have the dedicated time, or interest for that matter, to do this level of research, and since I truly love it and appreciate having ways to make the most out of disability retirement and still offer some value to society and our shared MS community, it's important to me to share what I learn in case it can be helpful for someone else. Research is one of my healthy addictions, a way that I can focus on something that is health-supporting and turn any anguish I feel into positive action. I'll post a full list of all resources shared in this episode on our Patreon page, patreon.com/msflock, for your convenience, accessible to all. For our gratitude portion of our episode today, I'd like to share a timely quote I came across just yesterday by philosophical writer James Allen. "The mind is like a garden, which can be cultivated or allowed to run wild. Either way, it will bring forth results. If seeds of intelligent thoughts are planted and nurtured, they will grow into a healthful harvest. If the garden is left to chance, weed seeds will blow in, take root, and flourish, producing nothing of use." For me, this quote has several powerful takeaways in terms of how we can think about our health as people living with MS. First, that active cultivation yields much better results than sitting back and letting nature just take its course. I think a lot about this in terms of living well with MS and the choices I make every day. Sure, I could take a DMT or not and passively accept whatever comes my way. Or I could take further action and try to nurture myself to a better place. Today's episode is all about the active learning I've engaged in over the past month and how I'm using this new knowledge to further cultivate a good harvest or positive outcomes for myself. I hope that through sharing these opportunities with you, that they may also yield a harvest of healing and happiness in your life. I also know that a big part of tending to my literal garden is actual weeding. One neighbor we share a fence line with has an undeveloped yard full of weeds. If I'm not diligent about weeding that fence line, it can become problematic very quickly. While I've intentionally planted barriers along the fence line to create a strong boundary, weed seeds are a constant. This reminds me that my self-care, health-supporting boundaries, and daily choices also need to be tended with care consistently. The second thought that comes to mind with this quote is that active thought hygiene is, in essence, weeding out the negative thoughts in our minds that aren't terribly useful before we get to the point of rumination and set ourselves on a downward spiral into the more negative frequencies and emotions. As longtime listeners know, I'm a huge believer in mindset and mental fitness as a wellness tool. Learning how to quiet my ego, my judge, which is that nasty voice that used to say horrible things about myself, others, and life circumstances in my mind, and dismantling my accomplice saboteurs has been very powerful. Over the past few years, better mental fitness routines have led me to a place of significantly better happiness, peace, and overall wellness. I'm navigating the challenging rapids of my life with greater ease, maintaining health-supporting boundaries and relationships where they are needed, and I'm overall enjoying the ride so much more. Things that used to bother me seem to roll off my back. So if you notice that you find yourself ruminating, worrying, or spending a significant amount of time in the negative frequency emotions like boredom, overwhelm, frustration, disappointment, anger, doubt, blame, depression, fear, jealousy, or victimization, reach out. It doesn't have to be that way. You do have the power to actively weed out these detrimental thoughts and replace them with the gorgeous blooms of the higher frequency emotions like joy, passion, empowerment, gratitude, optimism, enthusiasm, and freedom. Growing requires action. It doesn't happen on its own. I'll be offering a summer session of the 8-week PQ Mental Fitness Program again this year, and there are still a handful of spots available. So please reach out if you're at all interested in experiencing this life-changing course. Let's take a moment to reflect on all the ways we currently nurture ourselves and actively cultivate, water, and weed the garden that is our life. Are there any opportunities there? I'm hopeful that the tools shared today might help move the needle forward in the areas you'd like to grow. All right, let's dive into today's sharing and learning. The first opportunity from this month that I'd like to share about is the incredible Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. He's a new hero for me, and I plan to devour all of his content over time. I first learned about Dr. Teitelbaum last fall when he did a webinar with my Stanford physician and True Medicine MS founder, Dr. Peyrovi, on pain and fatigue. Dr. Teitelbaum is an integrative and internal medicine doctor who has made it his life's work to help others recover after recovering from his own debilitating experience living with chronic fatigue syndrome. He is a research-based physician who loves to research and truly cares about us. And his solutions treat the underlying root cause of pain and fatigue, some of the most challenging symptoms to alleviate. While pharmaceuticals can and often do help us better manage these symptoms, Dr. Teitelbaum also teaches us how to get at the root cause of these symptoms and to alleviate them for good. On April 2nd, I had the pleasure of attending my second webinar with Dr. Teitelbaum and Dr. Peyrovi, where we learned about the 7 types of pain people living with MS and other autoimmune conditions often experience, and remedies for each. I was so intrigued by his overview that I immediately purchased one of Dr. Teitelbaum's books so I could learn more. It's called From Fatigued to Fantastic, The Comprehensive Guide to Optimizing Energy and Recovering from Pain, Insomnia, Brain Fog, Infections, and much more. His book covers 10 types of pain and solutions for each. I'll provide a brief overview here, and then you can access more information about the types of pain that pertain to you, either by watching the free replay of the webinar or by getting yourself a copy of his book, which I highly recommend as it covers so many relevant topics. He also has another book solely about pain management called Pain Free 1-2-3 that I have not yet read. But for me, I believe I have enough information to manage my pain through his webinars and the chapters in From Fatigued to Fantastic that are dedicated to pain management. So let's talk pain. And as we go, be thinking about which types of pain you experience and how Dr. Teitelbaum's solutions might help you alleviate your pain. Many of us experienced myofascial or muscle pain, where our muscles become shortened and form tender knots. Sound familiar? Since this chronic pain often leads to the development of more painful types of pain, it's important we learn how to stop this kind of pain in its tracks before it leads to central sensitization and small fiber neuropathic pain. In a nutshell, Dr. Teitelbaum teaches us that the remedy is to add energy to the muscle. This can be through movement, shaking and trembling, using a TENS unit, acupuncture, infrared, or a number of other therapies. Many of us also experience pain from inflammation. It's actually the main cause of pain in autoimmune illnesses. The shortening of the muscles pulls on our tendons, and here again, adding energy to the muscle is the solution, along with other ways to reduce overall inflammation, which we'll get to in a bit through Dr. Teitelbaum's SHINE protocol. Many of us also experience neuropathic pain, which is described as a burning, electric lightning bolt-like pain felt most often in our extremities. Another common pain is migraine pain, which often lasts for hours and sometimes is accompanied by light and sound sensitivity and nausea. We might also experience nerve compression pain, like carpal tunnel syndrome, abdominal pain resulting from indigestion, irritable bowel syndrome, or bacterial overgrowths, or pelvic pain syndrome, where we experience muscle pain in the muscles, ligaments, and tissues that support our pelvic organs and joints. There's also sympathetically mediated pain, which is quite uncommon, usually known as complex regional pain syndrome, or CRPS. More common for us is central sensitization, which is a form of pain that results in chronic sensitivity to pain. This often starts with a simple pain signal that we feel, but when we don't experience relief, the pain amplifies in our brains, and this increases our overall sensitivity to pain. Many of us also experience allodynia, which is skin pain. This can make us ultra-sensitive to even light touch or even the lightest weight clothing on our skin. In addition to the solutions I mentioned, like different ways to add energy to the muscles through a variety of therapies, Dr. Teitelbaum goes into great detail about pharmaceuticals that can help us. Acetaminophen, topical options, low-dose naltrexone, and oral medications like tramadol, gabapentin, tizanidine, Flexeril, Lyrica, Cymbalta, Baclofen, and other helpful pain remedies. I really appreciated his detailed overview of each of these compounds and his recommendations for each. There's also a full chapter in his book on each type of pain and the recommended supplements to help each one, as well as suggestions for additional resources if we want to dig deeper. His book is seriously like a comprehensive health Bible. I am definitely keeping this one for future reference and anticipate it will be one that I access frequently. In terms of his recommended supplements, for example, I've been using Curamin for a while now instead of Baclofen, and just got a topical he recommended called Trauma Plant to compare with the full flower cannabis and essential oil topical cream I make and use. In this early April webinar, Dr. Teitelbaum gave a brief overview of his SHINE protocol, which he also reviewed in his April 23rd webinar, also with Dr. Prerovi, focused mostly on psycho-emotional health. I'll quickly share an overview of Dr. Teitelbaum's SHINE protocol so you can see if it's something that might help you alleviate your symptoms. Data shows that when aspects of the SHINE protocol are improved, our health dramatically improves. And in fact, the SHINE protocol is the suggested place to start for just about any ailment. It definitely helped me overcome several types of pain, most notably the allodynia pain or skin pain that I used to experience. In the SHINE protocol, the S stands for sleep. As longtime listeners know, we've talked about sleep a lot, and often it's sleep that is the most effective way to improve our energy, mental clarity, and immune function, while also simultaneously decreasing our pain. Dr. Teitelbaum offers helpful tips for folks with racing minds before bedtime, or for people who regularly wake up in the middle of the night. He offers herbal, essential oil, and supplement suggestions for unique aspects of sleep disturbances, as well as detailed information on a variety of prescription sleep treatments. The H in the SHINE protocol stands for hormones, which are our body's communication system. And this is another area where we can easily get dysregulated. I greatly appreciate Dr. Teitelbaum's research-based position that many blood tests are unreliable, and he offers helpful alternatives for us to balance hormones and better support our thyroid and adrenal health. The adrenal glands are our stress managers, and I likely don't have to tell you that many of us struggle with stress management. Dr. Teitelbaum shares telltale signs that our adrenals could use some extra support and helpful ways to support them. One supplement, Adrenaplex by Terry Naturally, is something I started taking a few weeks ago as a result. We also learned about testosterone, progesterone, and estrogen, and how they naturally change over time in our bodies, and how we can supplement and even use other solutions like eating more edamame, since they are rich in phytoestrogens, to raise our estrogen levels naturally. The I in SHINE stands for infections and immunity. The most common chronic infection we are likely to experience is candida, especially if we had sinusitis. And did you know that most of us do? Check your MRI to see if it was noted there, as it often is. And over 90% of chronic sinusitis is caused by immune reactivity to fungal growth in the sinuses. Dr. Teitelbaum gives recommendations based on unique symptoms experienced for probiotics, antifungals, nasal sprays, dietary changes, prescription treatments, and also suggestions for treating chronic urinary tract or bladder infections, also quite common in our population. The N in SHINE stands for nutrition. I love Dr. Teitelbaum's approach to nutrition. He believes our bodies know what they want, and as long as we are eating whole foods, most foods are healthy for us unless we purchase them in a processed form. His main recommendation, beyond everything in moderation and avoiding ingredients we don't recognize or can't pronounce, is to avoid sugar. But he's a firm believer in the healing power of chocolate. Dr. Teitelbaum also addresses several food myths. Eggs, for instance, he shares, are the healthiest source of protein most of us can get. He also has surprising advice regarding salt, coffee, and alcohol. So if those are some of your vices, check out his thoughts and see what you think. He also provides a thorough review of many possible supplements, nutrients, and herbals to consider, depending on our unique symptoms and deficiencies. The E in SHINE stands for exercise as able. I really love how realistic Dr. Teitelbaum is. He truly understands how it's not always so simple for us. He does suggest aiming for 6,000 steps a day if we're able, and to slowly and carefully work up to that amount. He's a fan of exercising in community and feels like the no pain, no gain approach is, and I quote Dr. Teitelbaum here, stupid, and can actually get us into a place of greater pain if we're not careful. In From Fatigued to Fantastic, there are also chapters on a bunch of other highly relevant topics, like food sensitivities, mast cell activation, mold toxicity, weight loss, and the mind-body-spirit connection. By the way, I would be remiss if I didn't mention one of the most amazing parts of Dr. Teitelbaum's book, From Fatigued to Fantastic. He personally understands how taxing learning can be for some of us. And so for each chapter, he begins with a short BFF summary, or brain fog friendly summary, which is a quick and easy way to find the information we need quickly and painlessly. There is also a very detailed index to help us locate information we need. If you're intrigued by the possibility of learning more from Dr. Teitelbaum, there's another opportunity to learn from him and Dr. Peyrovi live coming up on May 28th, where the focus will be on his protocols that support our mind-body health. I will be there. Will you join me? If you'd like to register, visit truemedicinems.com and look under the webinars tab. Even if you can't make the live session, if you register, Dr. Peyrovi will send you the replay, and she'll also include the replays for the first two sessions that I talked about here, so you can have that helpful information too. Finally, I'll mention that you can check out Dr. Teitelbaum's website, endfatigue.com, where you can take advantage of his 2 automated health questionnaires that can offer you personalized recommendations for treatment of the many areas we discussed today. There, you can also email Dr. Teitelbaum to ask him for his helpful information sheets on a variety of topics if you'd rather do that than read his books or attend his webinars. Lastly, I plan to have Dr. Teitelbaum as a guest on Misunderstood in the coming months, so if you have any questions you'd like for me to ask him in my interview, please send them my way. Okay, let's shift gears a bit to learn about 2 more upcoming learning opportunities. One you can also sign up for on the TrueMedicineMS.com website is a webinar with Dr. Roundtree and Dr. Peyrovi coming up on May 15th, where Dr. Roundtree will talk about his approach to healing inflammation and autoimmunity. Dr. Roundtree is newer to me, so I'm really looking forward to this learning opportunity, and I'll hope to see you there. What I do know is that Dr. Peyrovi is a huge fan of his, which means, of course, it will be awesome. Lastly, Health Matters, which is a free community health event hosted by Stanford Medicine, is having an event on Saturday, May 18th. The sessions will be live streamed too, so you can attend in person or virtually from anywhere. If you're local, this is a great opportunity to meet Dr. Peyrovi in person. She'll have an integrated and functional medicine table there and would love to meet you. The event takes place from 9 to 2 in the Health Pavilion. There are 3 sessions. The first is called Food's Protective Power Against Disease. The second session, which I definitely plan to attend, is called Brain Power: How Science is Revolutionizing Cognitive Health. And the third session is called Ways to Protect Your Heart at Any Age. I'll post the event registration information on our Patreon website, viewable for everyone, so you can easily click the registration link. There are a few other honorable mentions for this episode that sum up the majority of the learning I've been focused on this past month. I'd like to share those with you too, in case they might be helpful. I recently reread When the Body Says No, Exploring the Stress-Disease Connection by Gabor Mate, MD. And this time, it hit me very differently, proving that sometimes we're not ready to hear or read what we need most, and that information is worth revisiting. I originally intended to do a full episode on this book, but this is one of those rare books that I actually think everyone would benefit from reading. My copy is underlined, highlighted, with notes all over the margins and inside both covers. I'll share a selection of provocative phrases that I scribbled in my book to entice you, in the hopes that you'll add this book to your reading or listening list if you think it might be helpful. People don't become ill despite their lives, but because of their lives. Our health is impacted by our physical and social environments. Our biological response to environmental challenges is profoundly influenced by the context and relationships that connect us with other humans. People suffer when boundaries are blurred. Chronic emotional stress diminishes the pain threshold and induces hypervigilance in the brain. Young children, not cognitively aware of dysfunction, emotionally absorb the negative psychic vibrations of the stressed family system. Emotional shutdown is the brain's most readily available defense. If we ignore emotional messages, the body sends physical messages instead. They get louder and louder until we listen. And lastly, I'll share a list of characteristics that make up the personality profile of people with a variety of serious chronic illnesses, namely multiple sclerosis, arthritis, cancer, heart disease, dementia, and Parkinson's. And as I read through these, be thinking if any of these descriptors apply to you. And if they do, this might very well be a book worth reading. Okay, do these resonate? Underlying repressed emotions, long continued grief, enabling, having to be or do what the circumstances demand, trapped in lifestyles and emotional patterns inimical to our health, no internal resting place, must take care of everyone, avoid asking for help, extreme niceness, strikingly congenial, compulsive sense of duty to others, excess of painful, unmetabolized emotions, service through self-sacrifice, hyper-conscientiousness, extreme suppression of anger, denial, passive or stoic response, facade of pleasantness, taking over the maternal or paternal role of giving and caring, being taken for granted, felt repeatedly abandoned, tormented by chronic guilt or shame, stubborn preservation of facade of idyllic family relationships, struggle to say no, boundaryless, and habituated to anticipating everyone else's needs, but not their own. I'll also add that this book is lovely in that it talks about generational trauma in a very respectful way, interviewing parents and adult children in an effort to deeply understand and also positively transform the relationships. No one is to blame. Everyone tries their best. Our early conditioning is the foundation our psyches are built upon and what our relationships are modeled after. So it's much easier to repeat a generational pattern than to break one. Often we're not even consciously aware that there's another way. In this book, Gabor Mate teaches us transformative insights into how disease can be our body's way of saying no to what the mind cannot or will not acknowledge. If you decide to read this book, I welcome outreach if you'd like to discuss it. In fact, you're welcome to attend the upcoming flock meeting. Flock meetings happen the first Saturday of each month via Zoom, where we talk about all topics shared on Misunderstood. If you read one book this year, this might be the most informative, empowering, and transformative health read available. Okay, this month I also read The Ketamine Breakthrough, How to Find Freedom from Depression, Anxiety, and Open Up to a World of Possibilities by Dr. Mike Dow and Ronan Levy, who's the co-founder of Field Trip Health and Wellness. I won't go into much detail about this book right now because at some point I will likely do a full episode on ketamine, psilocybin, and MDMA as tools we can consider to help alleviate anxiety, depression, and PTSD. But I'm still very much in the learning phase when it comes to ketamine and MDMA, and at this point have not experienced with them, even though the research in the book and from recent studies is quite promising. I will share that I really enjoyed this book and specifically found the case studies and frequently asked questions quite helpful. The book is not only informative, but it also serves as a workbook of sorts to prepare you for your field trip experience. I'm still not sure if I'll choose to embark on this particular journey for myself, but I am enjoying learning about it as a possibility and seeing how powerful it can be for people like us on a healing journey. As longtime listeners know, I've been open about my use of cannabis over the years since my disability retirement and have shared that I make and use my own edibles and topicals with great success. However, a few years ago, I started to notice that rarely, yet unpredictably, cannabis edibles, regardless the strain, started to make me anxious at night. And as someone who worked really hard to alleviate anxiety symptoms for a number of years and highly values my restorative sleep, I didn't enjoy this involuntary reaction. So, about 2 years ago, my local dispensary started offering psilocybin, or magic mushroom, chocolate bars. The bars are divided into 16 pieces, and my perfect dose is just one piece in the morning after breakfast. This dosage doesn't create any sort of detectable high, per se, but it does calm my central nervous system and makes my brain open to possibilities of seeing things a different way. I'm less reactive. Situations bother me less. My muscles are supple and loose. I'm more carefree like I used to be before the stresses of adulthood and chronic illness took hold of my emotions and wreaked havoc on my physical body. I can respond instead of react in a calm fashion. I experience a feeling of inner peace. Last year, I would use psilocybin chocolate maybe twice a week, just to keep myself grounded in a super zen state of mind, in a place where I could be free of unexpected emotional triggers and approach difficult situations that arose in my life from a place of calm. It also helped me dig deep into my unconscious mind while engaging in shadow work journaling. When I got sick with COVID and another respiratory infection at the same time in December, which honestly took a couple of months to fully recover from, I stopped using psilocybin and have yet to resume. But I definitely plan to do a more diligent self-study in the coming months and wanted to put the word out in case any listeners have experienced success with psilocybin, ketamine, or MDMA and would like to meet up via Zoom to discuss their experiences and potentially decide to be a guest on the show. If you're interested, reach out. This past month, I also finished reading Wild Feminine, Finding Power, Spirit, and Joy in the Female Body. Because one of my personal wellness goals for this year is to bring better balance between my masculine and feminine skill sets and between doing and being. Who knew I knew so little about being a woman and about my pelvic bowl and the creative power it holds, even at my advanced age? Definitely lots of helpful information, and it stretched my mind in many ways. Since I still support some coaching clients and one is in the process of launching her new business, I also read Regenerative Business: How to Align Your Business with Nature for More Abundance, Fulfillment, and Impact by Samantha Garcia. This was a really awesome book for creators on how to create a sustainable business in alignment with self and planet. It's especially helpful for anyone who struggles with maintaining a healthy work-life balance. I also got a lot out of it in terms of ensuring I'm aligning my time and creative efforts in nurturing ways that maximize my health potential. Another favorite read from this month was The Magic Words: Ancient Hawaiian Wisdom Can Transform Your Life Today. This is a great book by Dr. Teitelbaum's friend, John Lovegren, which is based on a beautiful Hawaiian meditation called Ho'oponopono that centers around cultivating love, humility, compassion, and gratitude. For anyone who struggles with meditation in terms of being able to clear your mind, this is a really powerful way to focus your mind verbally on the Ho'oponopono phrases: I love you, I am sorry, please forgive me, thank you. I'm currently engaging in a book study with a dear friend who also lives with MS to see what healing magic we're able to manifest together by talking through the key self-reflection questions that are shared in the book. I'll keep you posted and also invite anyone interested to read it and reach out to discuss. There's also several 10 to 12 hour Ho'oponopono videos that you can play in the background while you work or sleep on YouTube that help our subconscious mind subliminally focus on the healing powers of love, humility, compassion, and gratitude, and strengthen our ability to maintain those higher frequency emotions more often than not. I'll post a link or two of them with the resources from this episode. Lastly, I read The Open Air Life, which I plan to talk about in great detail next month in an episode with Dr. Susan Peyrovi. Together, we'll explore the research behind the healing power of nature so we can all maximize our healing from Mother Nature this summer. As you see, I certainly was a busy bee with all my research this month. If you have suggestions for future topics, I welcome outreach. I hope today you found it helpful to learn about Dr. Teitelbaum, Dr. Gabor Mate, and the other resources and learning opportunities I shared. My hope is that we all, one, remain active participants in our own healing through learning and leveraging research-based solutions to alleviate our symptoms. Two, that we each strongly consider reflecting on our lives and the areas where we might benefit from further research, adjustment, and alignment. And three, that we remember the power of sharing our insights with others in community so that we all may benefit. To continue this conversation, you are invited to attend this weekend's flock meeting on Saturday, May 4th. I'll have all of these resources available in case you have additional questions about them. If you're not yet a flock member but would like to be, join us. We are all people living with MS from around the world that meet via Zoom monthly to support each other and continue our learning on the episode topics. We also support each other through hardships and celebrate our successes together. You can learn more and join us by visiting our Patreon page. As always, I encourage all listeners to reach out with MS-related questions, comments, future podcast topics, or guest ideas. And lastly, remember, as we travel through life with MS, we're certain to hit some turbulence. We'll get through it, especially if we're flying together, supporting one another, and honking our encouragement. As always, thank you for listening, and until next time, be well.